praise, and let's shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We give the Lord a big thank you. We're celebrating the Lord's goodness. Man, we have a lot to be celebrating. We have more people accepting Christ, and we saw the Lord touch a seed faith offering, and we're just believing God's for some equipment. And so I want to thank you that are watching, looking in. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing here. And thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening. It's such an encouragement when you tune in and you tell others to tune in. Well, we heard some reports last week of people going back to their hometown and telling people in their town, you need to turn into the message. We know it's not the man, it's the message. And Jesus is the message. And so we want to honor the Lord. And it's so exciting to see the Lord's power being manifested in people's lives. That's what he does. And that's what he loves to do. And we get to be a part of it. And thank you for giving. There's a lot of people giving online. Thank you for that. Thank you for hitting that Give Now button. Just wear it out. I don't know what to say. I just want to say thank you. And thank you for being responsive. And thank you for caring. Thank you for caring for people that you don't see. Well, I'll tell you what, heaven, you'll see them. We'll know in heaven. And there'll be a lot of thank yous for the Lord and for you too. And I appreciate you so much. And we're starting a new series today, and it's going to run through Christmas. And it's a series on the power of praise. There's a lot of power in praise. And it's power that you have access to and can respond to and see the active manifestation of God in and around your life just through practicing the principles of the Word of God. And it's the power of praise and thanksgiving. And part of what we're doing to celebrate and honor the Lord through the next month, through the first of the year, is that we're going to start and keep a blessings journal. Now, the saints that are here have this in their bulletin. And by the way, we're reading that bulletin. Amen. We're thankful for the people that put in work in that bulletin. We're honoring the time and the effort and the cost. And, you know, it saves pastors a lot of phone calls when you just read your bulletin. Hallelujah. There's great information in there. And there's ways to celebrate the Lord and people in there. And so it's important for you to read. But in that bulletin, your bulletin, you see a Thanksgiving journal. It's a kickoff for a blessings journal is what we call it. And this is so powerful. You may say, well, that's kind of childish. Well, you know, if that's childish, it's time for us to seek the kingdom like a child. Because we've done this in youth ministry for decades, but I want to tell you where it really, even though we were doing this with teenagers, you know, having them keep a blessings journal, and, you know, there's an old hymn that says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. See, if your pastor was really talented, I'd sing a little bit of it right now, but I'm sparing you. Go ahead and thank God. And I'm not singing it right now. But I want to tell you that power of that principle. Because when we meditate on the Lord, when we think on the Lord, when we reflect on the Lord's goodness, I want to tell you, it gives us glasses. Do you see these? Well, in the future, I'm not going to need these. I'm believing God, for he loves to heal eyes. Okay? We are seeing that in our body in some different ways. And thank God for doctors. But I'm telling you, I'm believing God that I'm not going to need these. But this is what Thanksgiving does. It gives you glasses to see more of God's goodness. You know, you can see God clearer. It gives you a heaven perspective. Isn't that great news? And so I want to tell you, you can put on the glasses of Thanksgiving and you can see the hand of God in your behalf. And I want to give you a little secret already. I'm going to touch on a couple times today. The more you see God's goodness, the more you focus on it, the more you see. I have people that start this blessing journal and they come back and say, wow. You see, God was, he was being good to you all the time. But a lot of times we don't see it. We don't recognize it. We don't respond to it. But when you do, you see all the more. It's like your eyes are open to see a different level. Well, I had a little, a pastor's wife. I had preached for them. I had a pastor's wife decades ago. So you try and figure out how old I am. I don't mind telling you. I don't want to say it in front of the teens. They think I'm younger than I am. But I want to tell you, decades ago, this little pastor's wife came to me and I'd preached for him and she said, I just got to confess to you, I've been depressed for a lot of my life. I've been depressed, some of the things I went through, and she'd been through some stuff. humans go through stuff. Jesus is bigger than the stuff we go through. He's our comforter, the God of all comfort, and he loves to heal the brokenhearted. But anyway, she'd been through some stuff. And even though she was a pastor's wife and she functioned well, I'm not giving a bad report. She functioned well as a pastor's wife. But she confessed to me that she had been depressed for a long, long time. And you know, the Lord prompted me just to mention to her, let's start a blessings journal while I'm here. Let's start a blessings journal, and you start tonight by writing down what God says, what God does, and who God is to you. You see those three things? We tout the teams like this. WHD, what he does, plus WHS, what he says, equals WHI, what he is, who he is. You see that? I want to tell you that's simple. But when you meditate on what he says and what he does, the Holy Spirit reveals who he is. And who he is who he is to you right now, and who he will be tomorrow. Is that great news? I want to tell you, within days, she came back before I left. She said, you know what? The Lord has touched my life. And I'm seeing God's goodness, okay? Instead of the badness of the past, I'm seeing the goodness of God. And I want to tell you, check back with her. You know what? I was there a year later. You know what she said? I'm a different pastor's wife. My life is different because of this blessings journal. And she showed me her blessings journal. I wish I had it because it was full. It had exclamations on it. It had tears on it, not from sadness, but from joy. And I want to tell you the report in the church. It was just glorious. But I want to tell you what God's done for her, what God's done for many, God can do for you. It's a book of remembrance. And it's powerful when we remember him. And so I want to challenge us, and I want to challenge you that are watching and listening, that over the next month or so, let's develop a blessings journal. Write it down every day. I tell people, like people take medicine, look at it a.m. and p.m., and give thanks to God. You rehearse it to the Lord, and then you'll find out in this message, you also find somebody else to share it with, sometime, some way, somehow. Even if it's a pet, they'll love listening to you. But it's important for your soul to hear what you're saying. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not deep, but it's true. And when your soul hears your mouth confessing the goodness of God, it releases the power of his manifested presence in your life. I want to tell you, if you really believe that, I'd have to say, all right, y'all stop shouting now. I need to preach. Okay, maybe you will before it's over with. So let's practice that. You say, well, Brother Tim, we're just going to do that for a month. No, I'm telling you, you practice this for a month, you'll be so hooked on the goodness of God, you'll never let it go. Is there faith in the house? So praise is like the spiritual heartbeat of a believer. When you go to a doctor, they want to take blood pressure, they want to take your heart rate. I'm announcing to you that praise and thanksgiving is the blood pressure or the heart rate of a believer. You can literally determine, how's your praise life? How's your thanksgiving life? That's the way your spiritual life goes. There's powerful effects of praise in your life, and you're able to see God's goodness at another level. Let's look at the Word. You've heard me say it. Let's see the Bible. Colossians 2:7 says this, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him. Who's him? Jesus. Be deeply planted in Jesus. Let your roots go firm. Let your roots go deep in him. Be fixed. I'm telling you, the Bible says for our heart to be fixed. All right, to be centered in on. To focus in on him. And to be founded in him. It speaks of foundation. Founded is foundation. Let Jesus be the foundation of your life. When your foundation is based on concrete and not sinking sand, whenever storms come in your life, and they will come. They come to believers and non-believers. They come to those who love God and those who don't. But I want to tell you, when your foundation and your roots are in him, picture yourself being that tree planted by the rivers of water, and your roots go deep into the life stream of Jesus, his word, and your foundation is on the concrete of Jesus. He's our rock. Somebody say amen. When the storm comes, you're still standing. You don't just survive. You thrive during a pandemic. Right? Okay, y'all get on the train with me. We got a lot of ground to cover. Being continually built up in him. Does that just mean one Sunday? Does that just mean receiving Christ and you're done? No, there's a process of being continually built up in him. And let me announce, he's got more for you, so let's go for it. It's progress in him. And that should be our testimony. Becoming increasingly more confirmed, more established in the faith. Are you becoming more established in the faith, just as you were taught? And abounding, look, here's the fruit of it. Here's the evidence that you're abounding in faith. Here's the evidence that you're becoming increasingly more established and confirmed in Jesus. Here's the evidence because you're abounding and overflowing in it with, somebody say the word. Thanksgiving it is. I want to tell you something all of us can do. Okay? Now, let me just give you a little hint. The more you grow, the more you give praise and thanksgiving. So how's your praise life? Come on, we need to get our praise on. How's your thanksgiving? Because the more you grow, the more you praise and give thanks. Hey, look, Pastor Tim, Papa T been saying that, but this is Bible. Okay, so that's true. Well, sound like I need to emphasize it a little bit more. The more you see him, and this is why we tell you to see God in the Word, see Jesus in the Word, see Jesus as you praise and give thanks, you focus on Jesus. Something happens when you focus on Jesus and not yourself. When you focus on the goodness and promises of God, you see Jesus in the Word and not your problem. Something happens when you esteem him and you disesteem the junk. I want to tell you, a lot of things happen, but the more you see him, listen, the more you know him. And the more you know him, the more you praise and give thanks. It's an automatic byproduct. You don't have to talk yourself into it. You don't have to have a sermon series to encourage you. I'm telling you, the more you see him, the more you know him, the more you praise and give thanks to him. It's an automatic byproduct. If you're not actively, okay, let me shoot it from a different direction. If you're not actively praising and thanking God, you are not abounding in faith. Now, that ought to be pretty clear. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just trying to get us in balance of what a normal Christian's heartbeat is supposed to be. If your heartbeat's weak, we need some strength. Anybody want some strength? We're going there. Stay with me on this. I can hear people saying through this, well, now, Brother Tim. I actually had an elder's wife in East Texas tell me, well, we have real lives. We don't play at the church. You know, I had a little righteous indignation that was trying to come up, you know. I was able to smile, okay, and be at peace about it. But, you know, people have this tendency to say, well, you know, you play at the church, or, you know, you have the, the first lady, and I do, and you have your Bible, yes, I do, and so, you know, you got the cat that loves you too, yes, I do, but here's the deal. You know, people think, well, you don't know my circumstances. Let me make a little announcement to you. Pastors have troubles too. Pastors have mountains too. Pastors have storms too. Okay? And let me just announce something to you. I got compassion for troubles. I've been there. Not only do we get to fight the enemy on our behalf, listen, we get to fight the enemy for your troubles. Okay? Aren't you glad? Hey, you know, Brother Tim, I've been hurt. Well, you know what? Hey, leader of the pack gets a few arrows in the back. Okay, you know what? We've been hurt too. But I want to tell you, this is why, hey, it's a trophy of grace. We're a testimony of the grace of God. No matter how you've been hurt, he loves to heal our hearts. Amen? There's mountains in this journey. And let me announce this. don't act like you're the only one that's got a mountain. Jesus told us there'd be a lot of them. And did he tell the truth? Yes, there are many, but be advised about this. There's no shortage of Jesus' joy. There's no shortage of Jesus' peace. So how do we tap into that? A number of different gates to tap into this, but we're going to talk about this today. But there are people that are committed. I say committed. The Bible has a way of describing stuff. It's so clear. And I'm going to say this, not trying to offend anybody. But you know what? The Bible describes that, you know, a dog will return to his vomit. Now, I want to announce something to you about that little scenario. I'm not trying to ruin your lunch. Let me say, I'm trying to help your life. All right, the same thing that was bad for that dog the first time is still bad for that dog the second time. Are you with me? Well, see, there are people that seem to be addicted to what's poisonous in their life. All right, now we know, according to the Word of God, fear is not from Jesus. It's from the enemy. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of fear out there. And people are feasting on it. And it's damaging, it's destructive, and they keep running back to it. It's like they're addicted to soap operas, or they're addicted to drama club, and it's destructive. Y'all quit punching each other. I'm not talking about you specifically, but if the shoe fits, wear it. As Spurgeon used to say, if the hat fits, I pray thee wear it a bit. But it goes like this. It's like, for example, there's a lot of the population that is controlled by anxiety. And they focus on the worst. They focus on the negative. And I want to tell you, the negative is a trap of the enemy that causes you to miss God's best. You can focus on the negative and miss God's best. You don't want to do that. God doesn't want that. Listen, I wrote this down the other day, and every time I've looked at it, and I put it in the sermon because it fits here. But I'll tell you what, I can't preach on it. Not yet. I'm just going to tell you what I wrote down. Fear births unbelief. I am telling you, when you flirt and dance with fear, and then you wonder, weeks later, months later, season later, why you're not able to receive from God, I want to tell you what fear does. It bursts unbelief. And you have faith because he's given you the measure of faith. But I want to tell you, according to Jesus, unbelief makes your faith not as effective. It's a tug of war. And I want to tell you what fear does. Fear feeds the unbelief. And the unbelief becomes stronger than your faith. Which one are you feeding? Boy, that speaks. I said I wasn't going to preach on it. Watch me move on. Praise gives you glasses to see God's loving kindness. There's so much of God's loving kindness that he's pouring out of the windows of heaven on us. And a lot of times we don't see it. We don't receive it because we don't see it. We don't recognize it. We don't respond with thanksgiving. But I want to tell you, you can see more. And here's the deal. You know, I should have Richie up here explaining this, but he could do it so well. But I'm just going to say to you, praise is like a spark plug. Praise is a spark plug. Take the spark plug out and see what happens. I don't care how mighty the engine is. It's not going to operate like it's supposed to. But I want to tell you, praise is a spark plug for hope. Praise helps you focus on the faithfulness of God. Praise is the spark. Hey, it's the jump start to hope and faith. So if you're having a little trouble today because of the circumstances in your life, you can practice praise and thanksgiving. And the next thing you know, you've got a jump start to hope and faith. That's the power of praise, the power of thanksgiving. We talked, this is season three, if you notice, because in season one, we talked about, and I think I got this in order, it may be a little backwards, but it's worth looking at. I think in season one, we covered that praise puts the devil on the run, because praise is a weapon. Jesus described it. I'll touch on it today, because this is a little review. But Jesus described praise as being a weapon of warfare. And so that's exciting. And I think season two we covered that praise causes unbelief to leave your heart. It ministers to you. It builds you up. Anybody need to be built up? Well, I want to tell you, praise and thanksgiving is a gate into His presence to be built up, to be restored and be renewed. And in season three, which is what we're going to be doing this month, praise and thanksgiving is about this. Get this. This is so exciting to me. I've saved the best for last on this. Praise is ministering to God. Ooh, that's good. Praise is ministering to Father. It's blessing the Lord. You know, you've seen the term in Scripture, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Well, how do you do that? I'm showing you, it's with praise and thanksgiving. You can bless the Lord. You can minister to the Lord. Is that good news? Nehemiah 8:10 says this, then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. And be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. Now I want to tell you, that's a powerful, powerful peek into the Old Testament, looking at the people of God. I'm just going to tell you real quick, because I could preach on this one all by itself, but it goes like this. The people of God have been away from the Word of God. And then the Word of God, they were exposed to the Word of God, and they responded with weeping and brokenness. Now, I want to announce something to you. It's okay to weep. Okay? As a matter of fact, your tears are precious to Him. There's a description in Scripture that He captures your tears in a bottle, and He keeps them. They're precious to Him. But listen to me. Sometimes it's fine to weep. Repentance is always right. And as believers walking with the Lord, we should be very quick to repent. But sometimes, and Scripture talks about that, if we are under the power like of an addiction or some control over us, and when we repent, it's okay to repent with tears. I mean to tell you, hey, brokenness is not bad when it's brought to the Lord. Grieving is not bad when it's brought to the Lord. Repentance is always good because it means you've turned your heart toward the Lord. Okay? Don't try to measure someone's repentance by the amount of tears or the amount of brokenness. You can't do that. But when we repent and we have brokenness and we bring it to the Lord, He's the one that brings our weeping into joy. Only He can do that. He's the one that takes our brokenness and like the potter, He remakes us and remolds us and makes us into brand new. He restores us, and restoration is better than old. It's new. Amen. Amen. You see that? And so that all has a place. But what God is showing them here is that the response that brings God honor and glory, the response that He desires of you being in His Word, is to see how good He is and not how bad you are. Do you see that? I hope you see that. Now look, there's a place for seeing and dealing with our sin, but it's to draw us to Jesus, to the blood. And we receive the cleansing of the blood. And that the assurance of His love, that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and then we're to bring that weeping and for the night, but it comes joy. And what He really wants is your response of joy. And so He's sharing with the people, this is the right response. And He had the leaders tell and teach the people, you need to respond right to God. And He tells them, the time for weeping is over. And there's a place for it, but the time for weeping is over. And now you're to eat in celebration. You're to share and celebrate celebrations with others that are not celebrating, because it's a holy day to the Lord. What does holy mean? It means to separate. Simple means separate, to separate. And so what we're saying is that you separate this time unto the Lord and you dedicate it to the Lord. A time of thanksgiving and joy. You say, what does the eating and drinking do? Well, I want to tell you, it's a part of how we celebrate. But I'm announcing to you that even the New Testament says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever thing you do, do it to the honor and glory of God. Amen. Do it in praise to the Lord. If you can't praise while you're doing it, you shouldn't be doing it anyhow. Well, that went over real good. Listen to what the Bible says. Be not grieved and depressed. That doesn't honor God. Now, I know, and see, this is going to make some religion people mad. It's okay. I hear from them sometime anyway. But this is it. There's a groups, religious people that think that God's pleased when you're sad. God's pleased when you're suffering. God's pleased when you've got a heavy yoke on top of you. And you say and think that you're just worthless, no good, sorry, you don't deserve anything from God, you're just an old sorry sinner, and you're just all beat down. And they consider that God, please, no. No, 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 1,000 times no. What God wants is your fellowship. He's not looking for dogs with the tails between their legs. He's looking for the happy puppies that's coming to celebrate some fellowship. You get the picture? Listen to what he says. Do not be grieved or depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I want to tell you, Wesley did well when he told his people, he said, you need to make your soul happy in the Lord every day. See, it's not based on happenings. That's what the world does. Is there enough good happenings lined up, I can be happy? No, 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 no. He's talking about the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is in reference to who he is, what he says, what he does. But it's important for a believer to come to the place where they celebrate their soul is rejoicing in the Lord every day. Are you there? Do you practice this? This is important because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I want to say it to you like this, too. When you see that the Lord's heart towards you is joy, that his heart loves you and he celebrates you, and his desire is to have celebration, love life, fellowship with you, that when you realize that he is already, that he loves you unconditionally, not based on your performance, but he loves you in a way that he celebrates you. You realize that he has joy towards you. That is strength to you. I want to tell you, I played my best ball when I knew that a coach was pleased with me. When he was for me. When he was celebrating me. When he'd look me in the eye and say, Hall, you can do this. I played my best ball. You understand that's the Lord's heart toward you? Okay? He doesn't look at you and frown. Hey, I'm going to say it like this. If you're not praising, if you're not rejoicing, if you're not giving thanks, you're not as strong as you could be. Based on what that Bible says. You can't praise and be fearful at the same time. You can't praise and give thanks and be discouraged at the same time. Okay? It may take a little while for your emotions to catch up. But you can take charge of your emotions. Boy, we're going to preach on that next year. You can take charge of your emotions and you can command them to get in order. And I want to tell you, you can praise and give thanks and watch depression fly out the door. That's the power of praise and thanksgiving. Matthew 21:16 is a situation where the Pharisees and the scribes were wanting to rebuke Jesus because the young ones were praising Jesus. There had been a celebration parade where Jesus came into Jerusalem and it fulfilled Bible prophecy of him riding on a colt and a donkey and coming into Jerusalem. And they were laying the leaves of the trees and casting their coats down before him. And they were singing, Hosanna! Hosanna to the King! Now when Jesus got there, he cleared out the money tables. Same scenario. He cleared out the money tables. And the Bible says that he healed the blind and the lame. Now, that's a pretty good Sunday. That's a pretty good service. Great praise service. Cleaned out the wickedness. Okay? Healed the lame and the blind. That's his heart, you know. And the young ones were praising him still. I mean, even though the parade wasn't taking place, they weren't done. And they just continued just to praise and give thanks. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. And so, needless to say, the pastors of the religion The leaders of the religion were perturbed. All right? Actually says that they were mad. Okay? They were indignant is the word that's used. That means they were mad about it. That even though Jesus was doing right, they called it wrong. Boy, doesn't that sound like the world? Doesn't that sound like religion? I want to tell you, this is what Jesus said to them. Because they tried to get on to him. Don't you hear what they're saying? You need to tell them to shut up. That's disturbing. I want to tell you, people that are disturbed because of your joy, they're not in a good place. So don't let that bother you. People that get irritated and get mad because of your thanksgiving and your praise, I want to tell you, they're in a bad place. You're in a good place. They're actually bragging on you. Don't let it disturb you, and please don't quit. Jesus replied to them, said, "Have you never read?" And he quoted scripture to them. Boy, it's great when the Word of God quotes the Word of God. Isn't that great? I want to tell you the best commentary is when Jesus describes what the Word of God means. It's okay for him to do that. He wrote it to start with. Okay? He said, "Haven't you ever read?" Boy, he put the word on them. You know, man, "Out of the mouths of babes and unweaned infants, you have made and provided perfect praise." Now, I want to tell you, that's some great insight that Jesus gives us. Because here's what Psalm 8:2 says. This is the verse he was quoting. "Out of the mouths of babes and unweaned infants, you have established strength." This is warfare. "You have established victory because of your foes." Victory over your foes. In other words, it's warfare. It's victory. "That you might silence the enemy and the avenger." You know, this makes the enemy shut up. This makes the one attacking you back up. And so Jesus described, he interpreted that what this means out of the mouths of babes and unweaned infants is that, you know what? It's the power of praise and thanksgiving. That's something all of us can do. Hey, listen to this. Catch this, and it'll motivate you. Jesus is saying those who are not big enough, well, please catch this. Those who aren't, who the world doesn't consider big enough or strong enough to go to war, Jesus saying even the babes, because of praise, thanksgiving, can put the enemy on the run. People the world doesn't consider warriors can put the enemy on the run, can shut up the enemy, silence the enemy, and put the avenger on the run through praise and thanksgiving. Is that powerful? Doesn't that excite you? Man, that excites me because that's something all of us can do. Praise factor affects the devil, it affects you, and affects God. And praise is a powerful force. Now, I know there are some people, and I'm not throwing stones at them, but I'm just saying there's people that say that if you begin to praise and thanksgiving, and they kind of approach it like you do it, like you say it over and over again, that your circumstances will change. Now, I want to tell you, that's not centered in. Because the praise and thanksgiving is centered in on the Lord, not on you. And so if there's a way of doing anything for God and missing if your heart's not in the right direction. You see, the heartbeat is important to Father. And so it goes something like this. Let me get real clear. Praise changes you. Prayer, you see, people say prayer changes things. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, but first off, prayer changes you. Okay, are you with me? And so that's the power that comes because it changes your perspective. Praise changes your perspective. It changes your focus going from here to there. Boy, there's a lot of freedom that comes with that. It changes your attitude. Murmuring, poor me, poor old me. Moo, me. No, it's praise Jesus. And gets you to celebrate and remembering the goodness of God. It's amazing what all happens when you practice love life with the Lord. It's amazing how when you seek ye first the kingdom, all these other things line up. Well, I want to tell you, that was good. I'm enjoying it right now. Let's give Father what He loves, and He loves praise. It's a priority in heaven. You know that it's declared, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. That's God's heartbeat. As it is in heaven, so shall it be with His people. In the hearts of His people. What's happening in heaven needs to be happening in us. See, Father loves interaction with you. Now, be careful here, because Jesus came to show a religious world that had a misview, a wrong perspective of God. They viewed God as mean. They viewed God that He was more pleased with rules. And they completely missed. And Jesus came to show them that God was a loving Father. And what the loving Father wanted more than anything else was not the rules and regulations, but you. Amen. He wants the heart. And so, let's let this be true to us. Father loves interaction with you. Understand His priority. Everybody say priority. His priority desire is not your service. Now, I'm this could get some cards and letters. Because in a lot of places, it's preached that the first thing God wants is your service. And it's just out of order. Now, make no mistake. When you love the Lord, you will please Him with your life. You will please Him with works. That's the reaction of love. That's love in response. But I want to tell you, it's not doing to get. We're serving because of what He's already done. We're serving because we are already loved. We love Him because He first loved us. And so understand, His priority desire is not your service, but a relationship with you. See, this is what I love about Jesus that I don't like about religion. Religion's about works in order to please God. Hey, Jesus' life, real Christian life, is about relationship. He wants relationship with you. He loves loving on you. He loves blessing you. He loves you loving on Him. He loves you blessing Him. And love life goes both ways. Somebody say amen. Amen. Boy, that allows me to keep preaching. Praise and thanksgiving is a priority. It's a main avenue. It's a main gate. It's a main way to love the Lord. All right? To love on the Lord. We can actually minister to God by expressing love to Him. All right? Acts 13:2 says this. This was a group of men, a small group of men, and the Bible says that they were ministering to the Lord. Do you get that? Somebody say ministering to the Lord. Wait a minute, He's God. I mean, He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you know what? It's possible for us to minister to Him? Yeah, it is. And you know what He wants? He wants our ministry. He loves to be ministered to. And we do that with our love life. Look at this, what He said. And then they're ministering to the Lord, and they were fasting also. In other words, they were seeking God. The Holy Spirit ministered back to them. Are you getting this? You minister to the Lord, He ministers back to you. You love on the Lord, He loves you back. He can't help it. He loves to love on you. Look how the Lord ministered to them. Separate ye to me, both Barnabas and Saul, to the work which I've called them. So here they were ministering to the Lord. Now, other version, and you go back and look at the wording, it'll tell you how they did that. You want to know how they did that? Amplified version says they were worshiping. Do you see it? Man, this ought to be clear. Catch this. The way they were ministering to the Lord was by worshiping, praise and thanksgiving, prayer, fasting. They were seeking the Lord, loving on the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord loved them back. Let me tell you how the Lord loved them back. He loved them back with direction and purpose. I am telling you, there are entire books written. You know I'm telling the truth, brother. There's entire books written on how to find the will of God. How you can figure out the will of God. I am telling you, listen to me. You love on Him. You minister to Him and you love on Him. And guess what? He will give you direction. He will give you purpose. But it comes out of love life. Not figuring out dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Well, I want to tell you, there's some people that'll minister to. Matthew 25:40. And the king will reply to them. And I want to tell you that I'm just sharing this with you because there's a place for the doing. There's a place for serving. Truly, I tell you, as you've done it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. And so without a doubt, and we teach this, one of the ways that we love on the Lord is by loving on one another. And see, we do this, and we did this last week. We had a precious Thanksgiving service where we were expressing thanks. And then we went into thanking the Lord for one another. And when you thank someone and you love on them, the Lord says it's as if you were thanking me personally. It's as if you were loving on me personally. That is powerful. That's good. And I just kind of want to rush and say, you know, it really means something special to heaven when you love on people that can't love you back, that are not in a place to love you back. I think this was at the time we had over 100 teens in the youth group, and I had a pretty large staff. And a couple of the women came to me, and they were fussing. A couple of the women on staff. Okay, what are we dealing with today? A big part of my ministry was ministering to the staff so they could minister to the teens. That was a full-time job. You know how people are. You know how we are. We're a mess. And so one was complaining and telling me, I kept her kids so she could go play, but she won't keep my kids so I can go play. I said, is that it? Is that what we're dealing with here? Let me tell you something. If you're trying to do something for someone in order to earn something from them, you're wrong anyway. Don't keep each other's kids in order to try to keep count or to earn some favor. You know, if you're going to keep each other's kids, just do it because you love Jesus and you love them. And don't have any expectation toward man. Let your expectation be before God. Are you doing it for Jesus or doing it for yourself? Oh, Lord Jesus. Hey, Peter's mother is a good example. You know what? She was sick with fever. She was out. Oh, you saw this in The Chosen? Boy, it was so beautiful. And Jesus reached down. He touched her. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. And she woke up and said, hey, is it time for lunch? What do you like to eat? And she got up and started serving. See, that's ministry. That's precious. But that's where ministry comes from. We touch others because he's touched us. Wow. So this small group of men in Acts 13:2, this small group of men were ministering to the Lord and directly with praise, thanksgiving, praise and prayer. And I want to tell you, it's just beautiful. Psalm 100, and that's how we can minister to the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering into his courts with praise. Do you see that? That is a gate. That's what I've been telling you. It's a gate. Be thankful and say so to him. That's where the blessings journal comes in. Practice remembering the goodness of God. There are some things we're to forget in this journey. It's our past. But there's some things we're to remember, and it's the goodness of God. And so as we focus on the goodness of God and we write down those blessings, we repeat them back to him, we share them with someone else, we do this a couple times a day, this blesses him. And we're to affectionately praise his name. Do you see the love life in that? We're to affectionately praise his name. So love on them in prayer and praise, and this is how we can personally bless the Lord. And I've had people tell me, now, Brother Tim, and you know, we're trying to train the teens on this, and you're going to see a difference in their life in a month's time. I mean, we're starting with some that already know what this is about, and there's others that don't know how to praise and give them thanks, but they've got their blessings journal going. And man, we are off to a good start, and you're going to see some difference publicly. But let me tell you something. You won't see a public difference in their praise and worship and thanksgiving until they practice it privately. Did you catch that? You see, I got people to tell, well, now, Brother Tim, that's just not, I'm just not comfortable with that. Well, it's because you don't do it privately. Because if you do it privately, it carries over to public. All right? And I want to tell you, you're not going to get out of your comfort zone publicly until you get out of it privately. Boy, that's easy, isn't it? You know, get out of your comfort zone and put King Jesus before yourself. Okay? Anything that would hinder you praising and thanksgiving the Lord has to do with self. So let's put King Jesus first and glorify him. And you know what? Here's a key word, and practice it. Yeah. Okay, I got a couple minutes. So let me cover this real quick. It's Psalm 107. You can look at it in your notes, Psalm 107. It's all through Psalm 107. I'm going to hit a couple of them real quick. Verse 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Do you see it there? To confess it to the Lord and praise the Lord and also to share with people. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good. You see that? Psalm 107, verse 15. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Brother Tim, that's the same verse. Yeah, it's repeated. Why? Because it's important. Oh, I don't go very deep, do I? But I'll tell you what, this is true. Well, okay, Brother Tim, that's twice. Psalm 107, 21, 22. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Are you getting an idea? 22 says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices, get it, of thanksgiving. And look, Brother Tim, what about rehearsing the blessing? And rehearse his deeds. Now, are you to do this with a solemn mindset and heart? No, with a heart that's joyful. Look at what he says. And rehearse his deeds with shouts of joy and singing. I want to tell you, that honors the Lord. That honors the Lord. It says in Scripture to shout with a loud voice unto him, to give him praise and to shout with a loud voice unto him. Oh, come on. You do it for the cowgirls. I mean, cowboys. You do it for the cowboys, but you won't do that for the King of Kings. I'm telling you, let's get our heart centered on Jesus. Hey, don't rob the Lord of the honor of public praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 107. Let's get on to a different subject. 31. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Yeah. Blessings Journal, rehearse those wonderful works and share them with others. Find someone. And look at this, verse 32. And let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. What he has done for you is not just for you, it's for others. Well, we saw that last week so beautifully. And I'm telling you, we're going to have opportunity every Sunday, which we do this, but we're going to have opportunity for you to share your thanksgiving after the sermon every Sunday. Boy, you that are watching at home and listening, find someone and share this. It's not just for you, it's for others. And so I'm going to finish with this because my time's up. The Lord, through the psalmist, he's showing us how to love on the Lord. Make a blessings journal and rehearse it. Meditate on it, not just to yourself, but say it unto the Lord, loving him with loving kindness, and share it with others. Remember that small group of men in Acts 13, what they were doing? They were blessing the Lord. They were ministering to the Lord. They were loving on the Lord. You can bless the Lord. Hey, get this. It's his heart to enjoy you. You can bless him. Isn't that amazing that we can bless the very Creator, the very lover of our souls, the very Jesus that died on the cross? We can bless and minister to him. I want to tell you, here's a definition of whether or not you're loving the Lord. Are you enjoying him? I'm telling you, it's true. If I were to sit up here and tell you how much I love the beautiful blonde, and I do that, and you know I do, but if I were to tell you how much I love her, but I didn't enjoy being with her, or I didn't enjoy her fellowship or her time with her, do you see what I'm saying? You know what you could call me? A liar. Because I want to tell you, loving the Lord means that you're enjoying him. He is enjoying you. It's love life exchange. They were ministering love life to the Lord, ministering to him, and he loved them back with purpose and direction. That sounds just like him. He will minister back to you with peace, with his love, with joy, and it'll be the joy of the Lord. And you'll have such confidence, not because of self, you'll have confidence because the Lord has joy towards you. It gives you a holy boldness. That's what he designed us for. You were created for His pleasure. Boy, that's next week. So stay tuned. I'm looking forward to sharing with you, and we love you. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. And all the people said, amen. Amen. I'm so glad you're here.